Hello, listeners. I'm Allie, and this is Quad Pro Quo. As always, I'm joined by my three co-hosts, Tammy.
Hello.
Matt.
Hello there.
And Guido.
Hey!
We are in week two of Quad Pro Quo Sequels Month. I did Halloween H2O. We are all been tasked with picking a sequel, prequel, or the original of a movie we have already done on the podcast.
Thank you, Trey Parker, for picking such a great theme.
Thank you, Trey Parker. I didn't realize South Park was so prevalent on our show. Actually Brett Parker. You're just as cool. We like you, Brett.
Scratch that. Delete it.
Strike that. Reverse it. Well, last week we talked about how Matt and I saw Sinners, but we also saw a preview for a sequel, a Final Destination sequel.
Okay.
Okay. Now, guys, Final Destination 2 obviously has traumatized millennials because of the log truck. Honestly, if you've never seen Final Destination, you know the log truck thing. And you literally in a car are like, nope. But other than that one, do you guys have a favorite death in the Final Destination series?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Which one?
It's going to be where the engine block flew through the air and into someone's face and just replaced their entire head with an engine block.
Which one is that? Which movie is that?
I don't know.
I think that's the third one because it came from behind.
Yeah.
It was in a drive-through.
Oh, yeah. That one. Oh, the roller coaster one. So when we went and saw the Sinners, it wasn't even a preview. It was literally the first 2-3 minutes of the movie. And it was this tattoo artist giving a very bad unsanitized tattoo. And then he's closing up, and of course he's using alcohol, and then it knocks over and you see the flow, you know, like you do in the death scenes. The fan, overhead fan, hits like a chain link that then gets knocked into his nose ring and he gets pulled. It was great. We were like cheering. I would say my favorite, what did I say? I would say it's either the guy who gets sucked into the pool drain by his butt. Love that one.
By his butt?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What? Wait.
Fourth one.
Wait, there's a butt sucker?
The pool drain the shower?
The pool drain.
Isn't there one where there's like a cord that wraps around somebody's throat in
that's
the
in
shower?
That's the first one, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it's still taking itself seriously.
That's a good one.
Or the gymnast, iconic. Or the one where the bitch comes out of the salon and she gets like
A rock shot through her eye.
Yeah, that one's good too.
No one brought up the one that has the most lasting damage.
What?
The fucking log truck.
The log truck is it's
she literally
well I started with that
the first one
but okay. Like that one is so traumatizing. I have been to Oregon and driven behind a log truck on those little tiny back roads with like no like what Amanda was talking about today in Mexico.
Yeah,
terrifying.
I move
terrifying on these roads. You can't, there's only one lane, you have to stay like
they
there's
don't
nowhere
have
to
little
go
dashes you can't pass them.
No. Yeah,
maybe just stop, send an email.
I mean, I just feel like
use the shoulder,
just don't do it, man. I don't know. If you're getting these vibes, just stay home.
Who's in these movies? These new Final Destination
movies?
Oh,
nobody.
Nobody? Do you think there'll be somebody?
That's how it should be.
I mean, Tony Todd, RSVP. It's his last one. He looks very skinny in it because he was dying. And he's always been in the Final Destination movies. He was Candyman, but I think he had pancreatic cancer or some sort of cancer, bowel cancer at the end. And he's very thin in this last movie, but it was his last movie. But no one's ever in them. The most famous people were in the first one. And I mean, in the third one with what's her name? Mrs. Ewan McGregor.
Oh, yeah. Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
Well,
David Koechner was in the fifth one.
The fifth one is so ridiculous. Oh, I like that death where the girl goes to get her like eyes lasered.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a good one. Oh, and yikes. Your dad likes the one, obviously, where the two girls are, of course, because they're topless and their titties are out.
Those are big pluses.
And they're in the tanning bed.
That's why Guido would pass that movie.
They get stuck in the tanning bed and they die with their titties out. And of course, Matt's dad was like, oh, this girl's naked.
Hey.
And now they're on fire.
Best part is, them girls were dancing. They were dancing in the things. And they were dancing. And they caught fire. And they're dead.
Did your dad like Bad Boys 2?
And the titties.
My dad, I don't think he's ever seen Bad Boys 2.
That's also got dead titties in it. He might like that.
We had this conversation with them last when we went up for Easter. And he was naming all these deaths and then didn't say that. And Matt was like, dad.
The elephant in the room,
you
dad.
Didn't say. He was like, oh, the tanning bed. Titties.
you mean to tell, how often does Alan talk about Final Destination movies?
It's quite a bit, to be honest. I mean, we did bring it up, but he does talk about it.
That's so funny.
Well, speaking of titties, what my movie lacked, your movie has for sequels. So Matt, tell us about your pick for sequels month.
It came out in 1972. It was the same year as the first one, and then the third one, the fourth one, and the fifth one.
That's insanity.
That poor child.
And it had an estimated budget that was unknown.
Well, how much is milk and paint?
And
the blood.
And it had a worldwide gross for I had to adjust it for inflation.
Oh, good.
And for the whatever Japanese money is to American? Yeah.
Well, no.
Yen?
I typed in yen to USD, but it was today's money, so I don't know
how. Oh, okay.
But it was approximately 1.76 million.
Okay.
Worldwide.
Okay.
But, you know, hey, it has a rotten score tomato. It has a Rotten Tomato score of 100%.
What?
Yes.
The critics gave it all great reviews, so it has 100%, and it has a 90, and because I knew you'd be like, what? It has a 93% audience score.
Wow.
So the people that have watched it is what you're saying.
Okay, first of all, I didn't say what movie. Like that. I just said what? I was inquisitive, okay?
The title of my movie is Lone Wolf and Cub, : Baby Cart at the River Styx.
Both of our picks have colons in them. Don't you love it?
A guy gets his sliced off in my movie.
He's an ass man.
His wiener?
No, his colon.
No.
Oh, his colon.
Yeah. No wieners were sliced right off in the Dark Star. This movie.
Is it the noise in Terrifier 3 that I said?
It's not.
That was the wrong sound.
It's not angry Donald Duck. All right.
Also, the guy in Terrifier 3 when his wiener's getting cough is way too calm. He's not screaming near loud.
They numbed it up first.
Is it like Trolls too? He's like, oh my god.
No, he's like, he's yelling, but I feel like you would be yelling really, really loud if you were being bisected from the butt. Like, I just feel, by a chainsaw. He's literally like, ow.
He doesn't have a good scream.
I feel like if that was happening, I'd just pass out and I wouldn't scream anymore.
Well, that's what should happen, but it's Terrifier, so.
Well, he's also naked on a set of 50 people.
Yes.
Probably not like...
But so it was directed again by Kenji Mizumi, who's known for the Lone Wolf and Cub series.
How long was the running time of this?
It's
shorter than my movie.
85 minutes.
I liked it, though. I noticed, and it was well-received.
Also, he directed the Tale of Zatoichi series and Hanzo the Razor series. A lot of what's considered Jidaigeki, which is the, it's a period drama. It was written by, I mean, I should have just taken the preamble I had from my notes from the first one, because it was written by Kazuo Koike, who's known for this, Lady Snowblood, Hanzo the Razor, and Goseki Koji. Also did all that stuff because they were basically the guys that wrote the manga this stuff is based on.
You're doing excellent on your pronunciation
I'm
of
so
Japanese
proud
words.
Of you. I think well, you studied.
I think it's her fault.
Shikiko.
I think it might be
no,
her.
No, she's
Shikiko.
Japanese.
It's her influence.
It's different.
Well, that's what this is, friend.
It is?
It's a Japanese movie.
Yeah, it turns out it's just same here.
And it is starring Tomisabaru Wakayama as our main character, Ogami Ito, shogunate executioner.
He's had practice.
Yeah.
Because he's done this before.
Exactly. And I'm sure you said this when you did the first Lone Wolf and Cub, because that's the movie you're doing the sequel off of. Is Shogun Assassin what based off of? Or Tarantino for Kill Bill? Or is that what it was? Okay.
Tarantino was
heavily influenced by
Shogun Assassin.
Because they mention it in the movie, don't they? Aren't they watching Shogun Assassin?
At the end of Kill Bill 2. And Shogun Assassin is literally a splicing of Lone Wolf and Cub movie 1 and 2 made into one movie. And also, Akira Tomikawa is back as Daigoro, the little boy.
So cute.
Cub.
Adorbs.
And just adding to the mix, we got Kayu Matsuo as the new Yagyu bad guy, also known as Yagyu Sayaka. Remember the Yagyu or
the albino Asian man?
He's not in this one.
With the one eye?
But like, this lady's like his niece.
No, the white-haired Asian man is the bad guy.
Yeah, but he's not in this one.
No.
Yeah, he is.
Briefly.
At the end.
It's like a callback.
Yeah.
This movie's more lady-centric. It's a lot of ladies
is
in this movie.
Is she the bad guy?
Yeah, she's the bad guy.
She is.
Does it pass the Bechdel
test?
All they're doing is they're
No, because they're all talking about a man.
Aren't the sheriffs the bad guys? I feel like the sheriffs are
I feel
bad
like
guys.
Everyone's bad in this movie.
I mean, I get it.
They're all assassins.
I get it that she's the bad guy. woman because, and it's the 70s. She really the bad guy.
I think it's more just like,
is she a product of her surroundings? Get the fuck out.
Well, I think it's more like, you're coming onto our land. We've been hired. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that she's bad. It's just she's been hired to kill him. Just like he's, like, everyone's been hired to do stuff.
Oh, that,
you know?
Woman. I meant the thief.
Oh. Remember, there are two women in this movie.
There's a lot of women in this movie.
Yeah, but I mean,
but they only talk about men.
There are two main women.
You meant the thief.
Yeah, there's the one that they get that gets naked with him.
For body. For body heat.
It was very thoughtful.
And then there was also the lady that, you know, tries to fight him and then jumps and runs backwards a mile.
Dude, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was.
But okay,
so fast.
Well, yeah, into the plot.
Yeah, but also know that we got rules here. I know everybody's
go around the room. Yeah,
everybody's going to say no.
No, and, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen it.
I'm not going to say I was hesitant to watch it because I don't know. They made five of them, so I was like, okay.
Doesn't mean anything. They made this fucking
Halloween movie. Yeah,
I did fail the first one,
like,
didn't I?
There's like 10 Halloween movies.
Jesus Christ.
I failed the first one.
Yeah.
I was just nervous for you picking it because of what happened the first time we watched it, and you were aggravated by it.
That's
so
true.
I was like,
I sat there and had
why
to explain it.
Why are you picking the sequel? Because the other movie you were going to pick was...
It was a shoe-in.
It was an easier one, we'll say.
I don't like layups.
I kept teasing
you
her, though.
You do fucking so.
I was like, Tammy, in order to prepare, we got to watch the History Channel. I got a couple documentaries I want you to watch. Also, we got to watch Shogun on...
He also said, you got your computer out. You're going to have to read. What are you doing?
Of the sequels... You were going for, like, the elevated ones, whereas we're picking, like, Halloween H2O, Tremors 2. You were like, I do Blade Runner 2049.
I don't think I appreciate the tone in which you mentioned Tremors 2.
I'm sorry, Tremors 2, because I'm very excited to watch it.
Fuck yeah, there we go.
I thought that was your favorite one.
The little mini Graboids, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Well, also, again, the reason why I picked this as my sequel as to kind of redeem myself from the first movie we did for our episode Kaleidoscope of Sex. You know, the first one being Lone Wolf and Cub : Sword of Vengeance. I just remember how much Tammy learned from that film.
You did.
And thought that she would like to return to Edo period Japan and its many intricacies of the clans and the different...
You have like
factions.
A PhD in like feudal Japan at this point. You're like so smart. You're like really good at feudal Japan.
I am all in your explanations of continued Japanese culture.
But also, again, you know, I really like the manga series.
Can I just say, one of the parts that I loved the most about this movie is that he and the little boy have accepted their fate of going to hell in being a part of the devil. And it was just, I think they said it like 3 or 4 times.
They're like, yep, we're devils and we're going to live a devil life.
And they're like,
normal men now.
And the little boy is like totally in on it.
He's just like,
he totally gets it. And that's like the whole basis of the movie. It's like, all right, we know we're going to hell. And here we go.
So yeah, we're just going to get right into it because that's basically what this movie does. It literally picks up right where the last one left off. This, honestly, I like Guido was talking about Shogun like 5 minutes ago. I'm really hoping that because of the success of Shogun, somebody's going to be like, hey, Japanese shit is so hot right now on TV.
I still haven't finished that show.
It's good. Japanese shit is so hot right now. What should we do? Oh, remember that movie series back in the 70s? We'll do that again. We'll do Lone Wolf and Cub.
I don't know if that's going to happen.
And Quadroquo did it. Let's listen to their podcast.
I mean,
yes.
That's what they did with Shogun, because Shogun was a series in the 70s too.
Yeah.
So they could...
But also that chick's so hot in that show.
It helps.
So yeah, like I said, we pick up right after this movie, after the first one left off. And literally within the first 10 seconds of this movie, I think it was written down, fun fact, this set a Guinness Book World Record of fastest death on screen. Because we literally see Ogami Ito, Shogun Assassin, Lone Wolf, split a guy's head.
The blood is a lot in this movie.
Well, yes.
Well, there's
what do you
a lot
mean
of blood
a lot? Like, when you say a lot, what do you mean
I
by
mean,
that?
It looks like paint.
Because it is.
It's paint.
It looks like chowder.
it's literally paint on a body.
It is the craziest color I have ever seen.
It's like they put paint in a balloon and it pops.
It looks like milk. It looks like milk and paint put together. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was 1972 in Japan.
I know.
Sorry they couldn't get realistic blood.
No,
it's corn syrup and red food dye. It's not that hard.
China is 60 miles to the left. They can't just get some cheap blood.
60 miles?
Yeah, I think from some points. Yeah, it's really close. Like the lower islands are just
kind of like how the Bering Strait, you know, Russia.
But I can see Russia from my house.
Alaska. What does that have to do with cornstarch blood?
They can go get fake blood.
Well, no, he's saying they could get real Chinese people's blood.
Oh, I
see.
That's
exactly what I meant. Yes.
I'm just saying in Kerry they used corn syrup and red food dye and it looks pretty correct in Kerry, and apparently in Japan they're using milk with like period blood. Like I don't know. Well,
Kerry was 5 or 6 years later.
Lone Wolf
and Cub walked so that Kerry could run.
So the fake blood movement was a lot better in the 5 or 6 years since then.
So yeah.
Sorry.
Dude gets his head split just after they're having a big, you know, another big samurai fight. And then, you know, this movie is basically split into two parts.
Like that guy's head.
Yeah. There's walking and then there's killing. It's literally that. So they just killed some guys. Now they're walking. They're walking. They get into town. A geisha tells them to stop and stay at their hotel. The owner gets a little butthurt, being like, how dare you let this dirty Ronin stay at our place? You let him come in here and take his shoes off and shit. Now they're not going to pay. And they're probably going to start swinging their sword around to get out of it. Which then, you know, Lone Wolf Ito hears all that. And he's just like, he goes, grabs out of the wagon. He opens up his billfold. He pretty womans them. Yeah, he's like,
they're geishas.
He's like, I got plenty of fucking money to stay here, so fuck you. So
this cart is...
That's what you should do for your next birthday. Let's all be geishas.
Oh.
Let's do a theme party and we all be geishas.
Yeah, that's called cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
None of us could... Yeah, it very much is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
it was a different
culture,
like Indian culture...
Let's put it to America and we'll do like an Enora theme and we'll just be like New Jersey hookers.
Then we'd all have to get really tan and that wouldn't be like...
Like you could.
I wouldn't want anyone to get skin cancer because of my birthday.
So he hands the owner a big billfold and then of course he's like, oh my gosh, oh yeah, please stay here. This is great. Here, let's get you a hot bath. And then, you know, we...
See a little baby dick?
Yeah, we see a baby...
Yeah.
Penis.
You're gonna see a lot of that
uncircumcised baby penis.
That little dick has got a lot of screen time.
It does.
It is odd.
It's almost my favorite weapon in the movie.
Jesus.
My favorite scene, my favorite death scene is when he threw his little dick around that guy's neck and then choked him to death.
Did that happen and I missed it?
Absolutely. He jumped on this guy's back, lassoed it around the guy's neck like a fucking cock rope.
Well, Guido, I forgot to tell you, in Halloween Yeshua, when we didn't see that kid die, it's because it was LL Cool J's giant dick that slit his throat.
What?
Yeah. It wasn't his head is like a shark fin. It was his dick is like barbed wire. Like, that's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You should have said it was a titty. Then he would have retroactively passed the movie.
That's got to be also, how he picked six up at the bar. You got to see my dick. It's got to be the weirdest one you've never seen.
Also,
looks like barbed wire.
Tons of titties.
Speaking of not...
Titties?
Well, I mean, speaking of not baby penises, but penises. Oh. Because apparently Ito and Daigoro are being watched by the Kurokawa spy clan, which are like ninja spies. The reason why I said that is because the weird hats they were wearing, it makes them all just... sitting there, they all look like dicks. Giant.
Bunch of dickheads.
Yeah.
Are those the guys that look like the dudes from Big Trouble in Little China?
Nope.
No.
That comes later. So they're being watched by this spy clan. The spy clan goes and relays to their boss. Their boss then goes to the new bad of this movie, who I mentioned earlier. Her name, Yagyu Sayaka.
I like that it's a woman.
Yeah. Hey, you know, sisters, they're doing it for themselves.
All right.
Bean flicking?
I mean, it's what? It's cool to say that when we're talking about the First Wives Club and the movie that they're singing that song. I was just referencing that.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bean flicker!
They're being watched by this spy clan who's then reporting to the new Yagyu head, who is Sayaka. She's this lady, and she's got her own little clan of female assassins. And she's just like, you know what? Okay, yeah, you report back to us. You let us know when he's vulnerable, and we're going to take care of him. And then the guy's like, you know, being a misogynist and like, you're just women. What the fuck can you do? And she's like, all right, get your best guy.
Dude, this scene is awesome.
And she like whistles and like five of her ladies come and just stand there. And then she's like, get your best guy. And he comes up and she's like, okay, you got to try and jump over these guys and run away. If you can, we'll let you live. He's like, okay, I can just do this in one jump. And he tries.
No. He loses all of his limbs. I believe at this point in the movie, I kept doing that joke from Monty Python. I was like, it's just a flesh wound.
Come back here and I'll bite you.
At one point, he literally is just a stump.
Yeah,
with a head.
Because first they cut off.
He has no limbs.
They sliced off his nose. Sliced off three fingers.
Yes, his ear. I feel like
they got a leg. They got his one arm with his sword in it.
He's just a box with a head on it.
And
at some point,
yeah, they literally just carve him up and they serve him as, you know.
They call him Bob now.
I don't know if you did the research on like feudal Japan, but did these like female groups exist?
Yeah, I feel like it.
So you don't know?
I mean, I didn't actually look into it. I'm not. This isn't to be taken literally.
Yeah, they call them vajinjas.
Shut up. Title episode. Vajinjas.
Again, this is based off of a comic book that was based in this. It's not fact. It's not supposed to be.
I know. I was just asking if in feudal Japan history, if there were these female shoguns, basically, which would be cool.
I have no idea. Yep. Again, leaving the man just as a writhing heap of a torso, and then he's finally finished off. Meanwhile, Lone Wolf and Cub are back walking.
They're walking along in their little cart.
And they get a job.
Father and son.
Because, you know, he is a traveling assassin for hire. They get a job. They get hired by a clan, a small community in nearby that specializes in making indigo dye.
This was the wild.
Look,
we were watching and I was like, so this has turned into like a mob hit because they can't make their blue jeans? Like, I'm so confused by this.
The dye is super expensive.
We don't want these other people to get our blue dye. Can you kill them?
I mean, yep. Anything of value, you know?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah, back then this was a big deal.
I understand that, but it was just wild.
Yeah, the Romans, they were really big into purple.
It was a wild.
Yeah, because this clan, they're like, yo, some...
The Crips and the Blood.
A lot of people want the secret to making this shit. It makes us a lot of money. If anybody else figures out how to do it, we lose that money, and then we're back under the thumb of the shogunate.
It's Chinatown, Jake. That's what it was.
One of our guys he escaped the province, and now he's being protected by these three other assassins. We need you to kill this guy. Lone Wolf is just like, okay, fine. Give me 500 Ryo or Rio times.
Ryu?
R-Y-O.
Wow, how do you say that?
It's probably just you.
Or it's like, real. I think that's kind of how he said it in the movie. He's like, 500 Rio.
It was just like that.
It's like that Tom Segura sketch where he talks about the guy who was like, your name's Segura, but you're not Asian. He's like, no, I'm, you know, white. And he's like, but your name's Segura. He's like,
Segura.
He's like, yeah, if you say any word like that, it's going to sound Asian. Like, Smith. And he said it like that. And he's like, it's Segura. It's not Segura. So funny. He's actually like, his mom's like Peruvian or something like that. Yeah, his mom is so funny.
As he's traveling, he accepted the job, and now, you know, they're back to walking. Well, pushing the cart.
Lots of walking.
But, you know, there are trees, there's roads.
That sand till the end, girl.
It's so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And you can tell that it's really humid in this environment.
Agreed.
Oh, yeah.
It's hot.
His hair is just.
It's fluffy.
And they're wearing diapers. It is a hot climate.
The crotch rot. Sorry. What?
They
girls know it's called chub rub, okay?
Yeah.
You get the crotch rot.
Okay.
In the heat.
Like, what chubs you got?
The thighs.
Okay.
Don't talk about my... It's friction. Friction rub. How about that?
Your thighs rub together when you have, let's say, weightier thighs. And
you're lucky.
If you're not your Kate wife Moss. Has
weightier thighs.
If you're not Kate Moss, you're you welcome. Have weightier thighs and your chub rubs together. We call it chub rub.
Yep.
You're and welcome. So then you wear stuff under your dresses so you don't get chub rub.
Thank you very much for telling me.
While they're walking, they encounter the first group of female assassins that we saw from earlier. They're disguised as an acrobatic troupe. They're just doing a random show for people on the side of the road. Allie was expecting some, you know, the song, like the turd mountain song.
I was waiting for the turd rolling down the hill song, and it did not happen.
Yeah, they're very upsetting. In this movie. Yeah, they just use their gymnast moves, but they're no match for him.
It's wild.
He's literally just chopping them left and right.
Yeah, you see women die in this movie, which you don't see women die in movies like this.
Yeah, hey, not enough.
Equality. Equality. And then he encounters two women. After he dispatches them, they have blades on their hats that they throw at him like frisbees, and he just goes, ja, ja, and just blocks them and kills them. And then, but there is some singing because there are like women that are like, they're like getting radishes from, they're like farming.
I believe I said these are not songs. These are just detailings of what they're doing. They're literally like, we wash radish, we cut radish. I'm like, yeah, that's just what you're doing. Like, this is not a song. Like, well, what are we doing right now?
What do you want, London Bridges falling down? They don't have them there.
That's true.
I mean, yeah, just because it's not a song for Western audiences doesn't mean it's not something that wouldn't be, they do.
So wait, are you telling me probably this is a Western movie for Asian people?
They should have done Wild Wild West, and they could have done that dance.
Wild Wild West.
Jim West, Desperado.
And then, again,
they could have done the line dance.
They start throwing.
There's a line dance?
Yeah.
They start throwing.
I'm going to look it up.
They start throwing radishes, sharpened radishes at him. One even penetrates the cart. It almost stabs Daigoro.
No!
Little baby.
But Ogami kills the first two, and then the last one is just about to jump up onto the cart to stab Daigoro. He hits a button. The kid just hits a button on the cart, and a Swiss utility knife just pops out and stabs her right in the slit.
In the slit. Like, in the vagina.
That's a double slit.
He slits the slit.
He slits the slit.
So he's about three-ish in this movie. Yep.
Is he?
Yeah. So we looked it up because we were trying to figure out how old this child was in this movie. And then if he ever acted again.
He didn't.
He did not.
Is he still alive?
He's a 3-year-old slit slitter.
This is it. This is his whole career.
This cart, I believe I said it's like the Mary Poppins carpet bag. Like, there's just like surprises everywhere. I mean, Mary Poppins carton bag didn't stab like Katie Nana and like.
But this cart was badass. And it was equipped for this little man.
I think when that happened, I was like, ah!
And then
stabbed her vagina.
And then the third, yet another one. Because finally Sayaka,
these women, they're just fucking everywhere, right?
Thickest thieves.
God.
You know, Sayaka, the big bad, the boss lady, she catches him by throwing him in a net.
Oh, yes.
Which has hooks in it, which are like dragging across his back, but he pulls a knife out. He cuts out, and just as he's about to cut off one of her feet, she jumps out of her kimono.
Kimono.
Because it's revealed that she was wearing like a fishnet leotard.
Hot.
Yeah. She's wearing like a flesh suit, basically, and then she walks backwards. No, very fast.
She runs backwards.
I said very fast.
I wish a motherfucker would.
Yeah, she's wearing like, because she jumped out of it, and I was like, oh, she's naked. And I was like, oh, no, she's not. She's wearing she's wearing like a skin tight bodysuit.
That ain't neoprene.
It's like the opposite of Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Like when we saw Lancelot run.
Yes, it's that. Up, yeah.
And then the guards are sitting there, and then he's running, and then the guards, and then he's.
Yes. It's the opposite. Because
it just kept cutting back and forth between Ito and her running, and she's like further away.
It's like, you know, like
going back up the hill. But I mean, again, like I said, this is all like we were talking how I felt like I like this one more than the first one, because this is all killer, no filler.
It's a lot of blood.
Because the next
fucking awesome.
Awesome.
Now the Kurokawa Ninja Clan, they were like, well, you know what, the ladies had their fill and they couldn't get it done, it's our time now. So they have it all, they have this big line, they're all ready to kill him. What does Ito do? He just tells Daigoro, hold on, and he kicks the cart at them. Daigoro hits a button. There are,
a lot of buttons.
There are blades that shoot out of the sides of the cart, and again, dudes get their, cuts the whole foot off.
Yeah, fadoom.
And they all fall down. The other guys, they crowd in on Ito, but he still has his bit. He took the handle and made it into his big double-bladed lightsaber spear side thing, and he's fighting them all. He kills them all, but he also gets hurt. Now he's wounded, but he's still pushing the cart. He falls on the side of the road in this little shack. It's up to Daigoro to try and take care of him.
He feeds him like a dumpling.
First, he tries to feed him water. So what does he do? He keeps putting his hand. It's that scene where he keeps putting his hands in the water and tries to walk up the hill, and it spills out each time.
Sorry.
Then he decides he's going to just put the water in his mouth. Allie thought he was going to piss in his dad's mouth.
I did.
She was like, yep, gonna have some pee play here. He also then gets some dumplings. He trades at an altar. He gives him his coat, and he takes the dumplings. He goes and feeds them to his dad.
Tries to, yeah.
So then finally, just as Ito is recovering, the Kurokawa clan find them, and they take Daigoro as hostage.
That's not good.
So Ito is now not 100%, but he finds that Daigoro is missing. He's just walking around, and he finds out that what they've done is trussed Daigoro up over a well.
Which you also know, this child was trussed up like this.
Yeah, that wasn't a doll.
That's not a stunt double or a doll. They tied that tiny little 3-year-old baby over the well where that little girl from the ring is going to crawl out of, let's be honest.
Well, not the little girl from the ring. The little girl from Ringu is going to crawl out.
Trauma.
I believe I said, is Sadako going to come out of that well?
So yeah, he's up. They got him trussed up over a well. They say the well's bottomless, and if he doesn't just drop his weapons, they're going to kill the kid by dropping him into the well.
It's fucked up.
To which then, as Tammy mentioned earlier, Ito gives the whole speech about how he and his son, they aren't normal people. They are demons. They have accepted their fate. So if they're going to die, they're going to die. And while that happens, Daigoro actually lets his sandal drop into the well, so it can gauge to how deep it actually is for his dad. He hears it, pulls the sword out, he starts fucking chopping up people. They, of course, drop the rope, but he is able to put his foot on it to stop it in time.
They work together without saying words multiple times, and it's really nice.
Did you look into, like, the child labor laws of this movie?
That's no fun. Why would he do that?
This poor little baby that's been trussed up like a Thanksgiving turkey.
And then when they pull him up and he's like soaking wet.
He's soaking wet. They put that kid in that well. And they were probably like, here, some bread, like a duck. And then they brought him back up.
Eat it. That's all you get for the rest of the day.
It's not like they beat him.
Do what I ask you to do.
No, they don't. They'll just starve him. Expose his little tiny wiener and then dropped him down a well.
So now we're done walking. We're now sitting because they're on a boat. Everybody look at them. They're on a motherfucking boat. And the boat is carrying the 3 Hidari brothers, which are the assassins that the guy that hired him are protecting the other guy.
These are the guys that look like the dudes from Big Trouble in Little China.
They're met by other members of the Indigo Dai clan, which are the guys that hired him. And they're trying to kill the Hidaris on the boat, but all 3 of them just kill everyone, covering it in red milk paint blood all over the place.
Can we skip to the part where they're in the city?
It almost looks like glue.
And he, like, the woman is like, I'm a thief and I'm gonna steal a wallet. And then the little boy's like, give me the wallet. Can we go to that part?
But fun facts about the Hidari brothers, the distinctive hats that were worn by them, they're also known as the gods of death. They are a traditional Japanese straw hat, often associated with Ronin, which is what they were. They're known as Ronin Gasa.
Wasn't Keanu Reeves in a movie called Ronin?
The 47 Ronin?
Robert De Niro was in a movie called Just Ronin.
And that was a much better movie.
That's a good movie.
The Monks of Death, also the Hidari brothers, were the inspiration for the 3 storms in John Carpenter's
book. Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, they did look exactly like them.
Funny enough, because here I thought there were two different people, but it turns out the woman that was on the boat that was stealing wallets, that was Sayaka in disguise. She followed them onto the ship, and another guy was hired to try and kill the guy, the indigo guy, and the assassins protecting him. And his idea to kill them is to just set the entire fucking boat on fire.
That would be my go.
Fuck that guy.
Which, it almost worked, but the Hidari brothers got away, same with the indigo guy, and literally Ito just takes the giant cart, puts Daigoro in it, and then just yeets it off the boat.
He does yeet it off the boat. I believe when I was watching it, I think I shouted, "You're on the wrong side of the river!" Like the mummy.
Yeah.
Poor Benny. Because
that poor little kid.
Sayaka is now also still trying to follow him and kill him, but they're all wet and it's cold and they don't have a fire. So what do? They get naked. And they get naked and they sit there and they huddle for warmth.
You kept saying, just wait. And I was like, how long do I have to wait? Because it's kind of violent right now.
Well, she thinks he's going to rape her.
No, not she. Everyone thinks that. You're watching it for about a minute while he is stripping the clothes off this woman with no explanation. All he had to say was, we need to get naked to be warm. That's all you needed to say.
It's cold. I need to hide my
but also,
bone in
again,
cave.
Like a little baby.
Let's no, a little that's not baby what happens.
Wiener. A little baby wiener.
Yep. And then they're just sitting there and they are just huddling for warmth. And she thinks about taking his sword to kill him with his own sword. But Daigoro bats at her titties like once or twice. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, he does titty flicker. But also, like, how cold is it? Because it doesn't seem like it's been cold the rest of the movie. So how cold is it?
Well, it's at nighttime. Listen. And I'm about to get to where they are.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why would you waste an opportunity to, you know?
I was worried when we got to this part. I was like, oh no, Tammy, there's sand.
Yeah, there's
no,
a lot of sand.
As long as they're in the city... And they're in the market. Can we go back to the market?
The market was the beginning of the movie. The market was too...
No, the market's the end of the movie.
I was shocked because I was like, where is this sand in Japan? Because I was like, where is this? It looks
like
Egypt.
He's a thief. He's a thief. He stole my wallet.
Definitely have dunes.
Final showdown takes place in a vast area of sand dunes.
There's no way this is the final showdown.
Did you watch the fucking movie?
I've been talking about this market.
The market was the beginning of the goddamn movie.
The market was the beginning, dude.
The woman is so influential in this movie.
What are you doing?
The woman and the man and the child. I didn't hear anything about these people.
What the fuck are you talking about?
The final showdown takes place on a vast sand dune. The three mm-hmm. Hidari brothers have their guy in the palanquin, the little cart that's carried by two people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, wait, this sand doesn't seem normal.
So weird.
So the Hidari brother, the one that
is
has
that
like,
the is that like the policeman?
I feel like you were watching a different movie, dude.
Wait, where is the policeman that are like, you're bad, and I need to catch the thief?
Basically, the because the Hidari brothers, they have three. They're three guys. They have three weapons. One basically has Wolverine claws.
Yes.
One has like basically wrist gauntlets that you see in 80s hair metal videos, and then the other guy has maced clubs.
Yes, it's so awesome.
So the guy with the Wolverine claws goes and starts stabbing into the sand, and then red paint milk shoots up.
How long have those guys been down there?
They've been hiding there who knows for how long.
Well, they had bamboo straws.
I mean, apparently, fun fact, that was inspiration for Denis Villeneuve's interpretation of the Fremen.
It's a Dune reference, Guido.
That's amazing.
So they kill all, because it turns out that there are all these soldiers hiding in the sand, like guerrilla fighters. Basically, gorillas, as in G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A.
But they're not white, they're not bearded,
no.
Or anything.
They are sandy, scrappy.
Guido, what am I
warriors.
Talking about then?
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
You're talking about the guy from the first fucking movie.
No, I'm what not. No, I'm
30
not.
Fucking minutes ago.
There's a dude with
hair. At the end, Tammy.
Well, what does he have to do with the shit?
We're getting to the end.
Listen.
We're getting to the end, dude.
So they kill all of those guys, and then, of course, once they're done killing, they see Daigoro sitting up there, and he points over here. Because guess who's waiting for them? Fucking Ogami Ito, ready for the one big showdown. Lots of blood, lots of fighting, and then the last brother is dispatched. He gets his throat cut, but apparently it's not cut deep enough where he's able to talk. talk and talk about how his blood seeping out of his throat is like, it sounds like a howling in the wind. It was a very beautiful end scene. And the Hidari brothers are killed. And then Agami Ito walks over to the palanquin where the guy, his target is. And he's just like, are you so-and-so? He's like, yeah, no, yep. Lone wolf and cub here to fucking kill you. And then they kill him. And then the final scene shows them walking out of the desert and onto a coastal trail, just pushing the baby cart. And Sayaka, bad lady, is behind them and is about to call them out. But she's just like, you know what? Never mind. She drops her sword, knowing she can never defeat this guy.
So what do the rest of the movies do? Is it just like a continuation of him in the baby cart?
No, don't say that because he's going to pick all of the other five movies.
I mean, you know.
TBD.
TBD. We'll just, you know, we'll see if Brett wants to do unnecessary threequels.
Unnecessary threequels.
Fourquels. Then we can just
keep watching. I could do Halloween Resurrection.
Yeah, Toads McGoats.
All right, which one did Daigoro get whipped in front of a crowd?
What?
None. Oh, that was this one.
He didn't.
No, he did. He got whipped in front of a crowd in this movie.
Like, which one did he... Do you remember, bud?
He hasn't watched all the movies, I don't think.
That was this one.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it fucking was.
All right.
I watched that child get beat.
He gets dropped down a fucking well.
No, he got tied up and he got switched. What do you mean he did not? I watched him.
He definitely got like...
Unless my husband made me watch the wrong movie and you're getting all upset at me about watching the wrong movie.
Going around the room, pass fail.
I liked it. Whatever movie I watched, it was good. And I had a good movie. It was awesome. A movie about the lady in the movie said, I stole a wallet and I'm not going to tell you that I stole the wallet. And then all of a sudden, they figure out who the wallet was stolen by.
Did you watch Baby Cart on the River Hades?
Yeah, we did.
Then you watched the wrong one.
You watched the wrong movie?
Well, I like the movie I watched.
I'm sorry.
Did you guys watch the wrong movie?
I think we did. No wonder I was this so just way in. Off. He, no okay. wonder.
You did seem really out of the loop for it. And I was like, wait, she can't be this me? Off. Well, because you kept saying he got beat. And I was like, he didn't get beat. And it, like, oh my God.
No, I totally watched the wrong movie.
The wrong movie.
God fucking damn it. Well, let me tell you, the Lone Wolf and Cub movie we did watch was fucking awesome.
Well,
we love these movies.
You know what, babe?
That's not fair to Mr. Lindsay.
Well, babe, I'm going to pass this movie because I actually really thought it was...
I really loved
the blood and I loved...
I'm sorry.
I loved it.
I really liked the movie that I watched.
In the first 10 seconds, someone basically gets decapitated. And you know what? That's a win in my column. And I just thought it was fun. And I love all the lady killers. And I love, you know, here's the thing. I personally like when we see women die on screen because I don't feel like it happens very often. And also when it happens, they are often victims. And I love a movie where we get to see a strong woman be like, you killed me, you know?
Yeah.
So I will pass it. Guido obviously didn't watch it, but we're going to say Guido passed it too.
Guido passes it because he has seen three of these movies so far, except for the one that we spoke about.
I mean, an extra one, apparently.
But like, I like them. I like them a lot. And I can tell that they definitely shot them all the same year or whatever, the same time.
This one is better than the first one, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree.
I totally agree with that.
Well, all right. Yeah, so Universal Pass asterisk.
Kind of.
We're gonna put, bro.
We're going to put an asterisk next to it, but it's fine. It's all
good. We're just Universal Pass for the Lone Wolf and Cub series, so
yes.
I won't have to subject you guys to the rest of them.
Okay. No, I kind of want you to, but do. It's all good.
But let's keep sequel month rolling on. Tammy, quid pro quo.
Alrighty then. My movie was released in 1999. It stars Emily Burrell, Jason London,
definitely.
Dylan Bruno, Jay Smith Cameron, and Amy Irving. It's a The Rage Carry 2.
Where can people watch The Rage Carry 2?
So this teen horror drama can be watched on MGM Plus,
okay.
Pluto TV, Tubi, or you can rent or buy on Amazon.
We are at Quad Pro Quo Pod across Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can suggest a theme month on social media or via our website. And please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, thank you for listening.
Bye.
Bye.